Hello, members. I have a book review for you. The name of this book is Moonwalking with Einstein, a summary and review. Now, I heard this book being talked about by the new media intelligentsia in more than one forum over the last few months. And when that happens, when I get multiple people I follow referencing the same text, it usually moves to the top of my reading queue. I have a project going right now that is a combination of writing a book and using that book's content as a springboard to a more active speaking role, more speaking engagements. And one of the things that I have always been challenged with is being able to port the very powerful prose that I can write to a speech format with the same power. And when I speak, it's not a memorized reading of the prose, but a rendition of an outline of that article. And by doing that, I sometimes feel that I lose much of the power in the pacing of the prose. And I gathered from what I had heard about this book was that it was about unlocking the secrets of how professional memorizers work. And I thought it would be a way to solve my prose-to-word conversion challenge. I could just memorize whole speeches instead of working from an outline, right? That's how Moonwalking with Einstein made it to the top of my stack. Now, I love Kindle books. I really do. They allow me to read several books and carry them along with me at the same time, and all I need is my iPhone. And one of the things I miss about physical books is it's hard to gauge the physical size of a work when you buy it on Kindle. And if I knew how long this book was or what the actual content was, i.e. if I was able to stand there and thumb through it, I might not have pushed it to the top of my queue. It's a long book. And it's only tangentially about memorization techniques. It uses that style of storytelling that is common to many professional writers today that endeavors to tell a specific narrative about people engaged in a specific journey, but at the same time paint a broad arc of everything having to do with that topic. The narrative element of the book is how this journalist gets involved with the professional memory competition and the wacky denizens of that sport. And the book follows his journey to training himself and eventually winning the U.S. Memory Championship. And in the process, it goes down every back alley and side path and rat hole in the history of memory skills. So while this book is about memory skills, it's not a how-to book on any particular memory technique. It's an interesting book. It's an interesting story. But if you want to know just the meat of how to use memory skills, it's about 200 pages too long. And in Kindle terms, I don't know how many electrons or LEDs or pixels too long that is. I would tell you if I did. There is a genre of these types of books that does a deep dive into some lesser topic and crafts a popular story around it. I read one in the past called The Secret Life of Lobsters, which was a similar arc. Just like you wouldn't buy that book to learn how to trap lobster, you wouldn't read Moonwalking with Einstein to learn memory techniques. A quick summary is that there is an ancient and mostly neglected methodology around memorization. Anyone can acquire these seemingly mind-blowing and arcane memory skills through understanding the approaches and doing the practice. And this practice and these techniques go all the way back to the ancient Greeks and before because they really didn't have writing. But the world has forgotten these techniques because now we have external memory that we can rely on, writing and computers and the internet, etc., the cloud. And except for a bunch of memory nerds who compete in these memory competitions and other colorful characters, no one does this anymore. And if you wonder, like I did, how to learn to memorize stuff, there is really only one way. And it comes from the ancient Greeks, and it's called the loci method. Loci simply means location or place. And in our modern world, in our popular culture, you will probably recognize a version of the loci method known as the Memory Palace. That's right! 317 pages of story, character portraits, and obscure history to get to. Professional memorizers use a memory palace. So how does that work? Well, our brains have short-term and long-term memory. We can't remember everything. This forces our brains to filter out what appears to be important from what isn't important. And some things we evolve to remember really well, like situations, feelings, relationships, things that helped our hunter-gatherer simian predecessors to find food sources and avoid becoming a food source themselves. Other things like numbers, long lists of facts, names, not so much. Most of you will be familiar with the memory rule of seven, which is the average number of things we can hold in short-term memory. That's why phone numbers were seven digits. The other thing we all know is that things we do remember tend to degrade exponentially over time. We forget the majority of what we learn right away, and the rest of it fades over time as well. And because of this short-term memory problem, there is an upper limit to how much you can rote memorize. Yes, you can read a poem or an essay or a list of numbers over and over and eventually force it into long-term memory. But that is very inefficient. That's not what the pros do. The way you get around these built-in limits is to use the things you can remember really well to remember the other things that you can't. And the things we remember really well are places and emotions and colors and sounds and the relationships between them. Our brains are not set up like a filing cabinet where once you know the label on the file, you can find the appropriate drawer. Our brains are very distributed, with each memory having millions of possible neural connections. It's more like a web than a file structure. How do you remember a thing and then find it when you need it in this infinitely connected web of neurons? To memorize something like a random string of words or numbers, you use the loci method. With the loci method, you create, through practice, a number of locations, think houses, in your memory that you remember so well that you will never forget them. Think about your childhood home. Most of us can close our eyes and very easily walk through our childhood homes. Then you use these fixed memory locations to file away the things that you want to remember. In this case, let's say you had a list of things, like a shopping list. You would walk through your house and put each of those things in a location. And when you put those things in that location, you would do so using sounds and colors and imagery and smells and emotion to tag them to make them more vivid. And then when you want to remember them, you simply close your eyes and you walk through your house and you pick those memories up. All of the professional memorizers use a variation of this technique. They use other techniques to clump data together, like being able to store three digits in each location instead of one by using the POA method. The POA method is where you create an inventory of people, objects, and actions to be able to remember three-digit facts in one storage spot. Hence, moonwalking with Einstein tags three digits to a person. Einstein, an object, the moon, and an action, moonwalking. Anyone can develop these methods used by the memory pros. Like anything else, it takes practice. These pros train an hour or more a day on this stuff, and they develop the locations and methods and they already burn them into their memory. So they look like freakish geniuses when they're out in the general public, because they can memorize multiple decks of cards or very long binary numbers and read them right back to you. And you could do this too if you spent the time at it. Going back to my original idea of memorizing my speeches, it turns out that this isn't really a solution for that. You could conceivably remember every word or strings of words using the loci technique. But that is not what professional speakers or actors do. What they actually do is they chunk the speech or the script up into bite-sized pieces and then associate an emotion or a link to that segment. It turns out, the way I have always approached a speech by essentially memorizing the outline and maybe the opening and closing is the way most people do it. The rest is simply practice. Before closing, let me add that I did like the historical asides, or at least some of them, about the genesis of writing and language. It seems initially the marks on the tablets and the dabbings on the scrolls weren't really what we think of as written language today. Originally, they weren't words or concepts. They were vocal sounds, like a player piano roll. There was no punctuation. There was no sentence structure or paragraph structure. It was just a long string of noises, a bit like Facebook. They weren't meant to be read like a book, per se, but spoken out loud and performed and interpreted. So if you're interested in knowing everything there is to know about the history and the current state of memory in this world, then you'll enjoy this book. I thought it was a good and informative read, and it did point me in a direction to do something better with my own memory practices.
For a special treat here, my friends, I'm going to leave you with a piece by the Scofflaws called William Shatner.
He got a fine tan shirt with an emblem on the chest. The interstellar girls, I like him the best. Captain of the crew and he knows kung fu. And he did Joan Collins in 1932. Really just an actor, a genius to boot. He never gets the fire when the enemy shoots. So he ends each show looking neat and clean after staring down the mouth of a doomsday machine. I really like the one where he reads the Constitution after ending all the fighting in the future revolution. William!